ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 31 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज क्वेश्चंस बाय विदुरा क्षेमं सा कच्चिद् युयुधाना आस्ते यः फाल्गुनाल् लब्धा धनु रहस्यः लेभे अञ्जसाधक्षज सेवैव गतिम् तदीयाम् जतिभिर् दुरापाम् क्षेमं सकच्चिद् जुजुधानास्ते च फाल्गुनाल्लब्धधनुरहस्य लेभेऽञ्जसाधक्षजो सेवैव लेभेऽञ्जसाधक्षजो सेवयैव गतिं तदीयां जतिभिर्दुरापाम् क्षेमं न कच्चिद् जुजुधानयास्ते च फाल्गुनाल्लब्धधनुरहस्य लेभेऽञ्जसाधोक्षजसेवयैव गतिं तदीयां जतिभिर्दुरापाम् क्षेमं स कच्चिद् युजुधानयास्ते च फाल्गुनाल्लब्धधनुरहस्य लेभेऽञ्जसाधोक्षजसेवयैव गतिं तदीयां जतिभिर्दुरापाम्
Yeah. साधक सज सेव
Shema,
all good,
Saha,
he,
Kachit,
whether,
Jujudhana,
Sattaki,
Aste,
is there,
Yaha,
one who,
Falgunat,
from
Arjun,
Labdha,
has achieved.
Dhanu
Rahasya.
One
who understands the intricacies of military art.
Lebhe.
Also achieved.
Anjasa.
Summarily.
Adhokshaja.
Of the transcendence.
Sevaya.
By service.
Eva.
Certainly.
Gatim.
Destination.
Tadiyam.
Transcendental.
Jatibhi.
By great renunciers. Drupa,
I'm sorry, Durapam,
very difficult to achieve.
Translation
by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
O Uddhava,
does Jujudhana fare well?
He learned
the intricacies of the military art from
Arjuna
and attained
the transcendental
destination,
which is very
difficult to reach
even for
great renouncers.
Please
repeat.
O Uddhava,
does
Jujudhana
fare well?
He
learned
the intricacies of the military art
from
Arjuna
and
attained
the transcendental destination,
which
is very difficult
to reach
even
for great renouncers.
Purport
by Srila Prabhupada.
The
destination of
transcendence
is to become
the personal
associate of the
personality of
Godhead,
who is
known
as
Adhokshaja.
He
who is beyond
the reach of
the senses,
the
renouncers of
the world, the
sannyasis,
give up all
worldly
connections,
namely
family, wife,
children,
friends,
home,
wealth,
everything,
to attain the transcendental bliss of Brahman happiness. But adhokshaja happiness is beyond Brahman happiness. The empiric philosophers enjoy a transcendental quality of bliss by philosophical speculation of the Supreme Truth. But beyond that pleasure is the pleasure enjoyed by Brahman in his eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahman bliss is enjoyed by living entities after liberation from material bondage. But Param Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, enjoys eternally a bliss of his own potency, which is called the Ladini potency. The empiric philosopher who studies Brahman by negation of the external features has not yet learned the quality of the Ladini potency of Brahman. Out of many potencies of the omnipotent, there are three features of his internal potency, namely Sambit, Sandhini and Ladini. And in spite of their strict adherence to the principles of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Dhyana, Dharana and Pranayama, the great yogis and gyanis are unable to enter into the internal potency of the Lord. This internal potency is, however, easily realized by the devotees of the Lord by dint of devotional service. Jujudhan achieved this stage of life, just as he achieved expert knowledge in military science from Arjuna. Thus his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Kshemang sakachit jujudhana aste jafalgunal labdha dhanu rahasya lebhen jasa dhok shajaseva yaiva gating tadiyam jatibhir durapam. O Uddhava, does Jujudhan fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. So, Jujudhan is, or Sattaki is an eternal associate of Krishna, Vasudeva. He is his relative. And he was his constant associate. Often Sattaki was Krishna's chariot driver. And he was a very fierce personality. When he saw that the Pandavas were mistreated by Duryodhana, many a times he was very angry and he tried to just wage a war against the Kauravas and destroy them. And he was constantly with Krishna. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, he played a very, very important role. When Krishna went to make peace and Duryodhana was planning to arrest Krishna, Jujudhana actually could make out that something is going to... They are trying to scheme some dubious plan that they might hurt Krishna. So he actually left the assembly and he went and got the army ready, their army, Jadu army, ready at the doorway, just in case there was any need, they were ready to attack. And so in this way we can see that Jujudhan, how wonderful an associate he was
of Krishna. Always, although he knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is so concerned about Krishna's welfare. So, and that is the nature of a devotee. Although they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they become very concerned about him. Like, if we don't take care of him, then he will be inconvenienced. Like Mother Yashoda used to think that if she didn't feed Krishna, then Krishna will starve. Similarly, the devotees in the temple, although they are serving the Supreme Personality of God, they dress Krishna in a beautiful way. They cook for Krishna, thinking that the prasad, the bhoga, must be ready in time. And they cook it with all the care, concern and love that it must taste very nicely. Because Krishna is going to eat it. So Prabhupada in the purport is pointing out, elaborating on that expression, adhokshaja lebhe anjosa adhokshaja sevayaiva. Adhokshaja is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he achieved lebhe, the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada elaborating on that point, he is pointing out that there are two types of spiritualists, Brahmavadis and devotees. The Brahmavadis, they worship the Brahman aspect, the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they achieve a situation where they become liberated from the material bondage. And then they become absorbed in a kind of joy, in a kind of bliss, called Brahmananda. Being situated in the impersonal aspect of the spiritual reality. But Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is situated in another kind of bliss. That bliss is called Premananda, the joy of loving exchange. So Brahmananda is an impersonal joy, the joy of being free from all material bondage. It's a kind of ananda, joy, bliss. It's being free from all material entanglement. But it is, although it is ananda, but this is very insignificant ananda. Very insignificant place. Yes, according to material calculation, it is very big. Something wonderful. Something inconceivable. But Krishna Premananda, to develop a loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is another kind of experience. That joy is far beyond Brahmananda. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it has been described that compared to Krishna Premananda, Brahmananda is like a footprint of a cow's hoof. The water in the footprint made by a calf's hoof compared to an ocean. See, like when in the soft ground, when the cows move, their footprints make an impression. Sometimes in monsoon time, some water gets accumulated there. That is called khat udak, khat udak. But so compared to an ocean, what is this? This is also a water, reservoir of water. But does it have any comparison to an ocean of water? This hoof print of a cow? Similarly, compared to Krishna Premananda, Brahmananda is absolutely insignificant. And why? Because Krishna is Anandamaya Bhasat. So he is the reservoir of all joy. And when one becomes connected to Krishna through loving exchange, then he also experiences that joy that Krishna is experiencing out of that love. And this loving potency, the potency that is responsible for creating that loving relationship, is called Ladini potency, or pleasure giving potency. So everybody is searching after joy. Everything that everybody does is for the sake of getting some pleasure, getting some joy, ananda. Whatever one does is for the sake of getting some pleasure. A child is playing with toys. Why does the child play with toys? For some, to get some joy. He gets some pleasure, gets some joy out of it. Then he grows up and plays in the field, plays football. Why does he play football? You try to take him away from the field, he'll be completely upset. Why? Because he's getting some joy. Then he grows up, and then he plays another kind of game, gambling. And then he doesn't play football, he gambles. Why does he gamble? Because he gets some joy out of it. Or he plays poker or some sort of games. So in this way, in the material platform, people are trying to do something simply to get some joy. Whatever one does, why does one work so hard? People are working in an office or in a factory. Why? This is painful. Working in a factory or in an office, is it joyful? It's not joyful. It's very painful. But still, why does one undergo this painful experience? Manish, you're laughing. Why? Because he thinks that at the end of the month he'll get some money. And with that money he will do something that he likes to do. Right? So in this way, everybody is doing, whatever he is doing is for the sake of getting some joy. But then in the material platform one realizes, well, there is no joy here. One may get so much money, but still he doesn't get what he wants. So, then when one realizes that there is no enjoyment in the material nature, then what he thinks? He either thinks that if he can get out of this miserable condition, then he'll become joyful. He realizes that the material condition is miserable. And if he can get out of that miserable condition, then he'll become joyful. So that is the first step. Let me get out of the material nature. And then there is some joy. There is some joy. That joy, now there is no more. I don't have to go to factory. I don't have to go to office. I don't have to pay any tax. I don't have to worry about the thieves. I don't have to worry about the government. I don't have to worry about the police. I don't have to worry about the court. I don't have to worry about my wife nagging. So, in this way, they get out of some sort of negative, get out of the negative situation. And that is kind of joy because there is no distress. To not have distress is a kind of joy. But is it real joy? Like, let us consider a graph. In a graph, what do you have? There is an axis of the graph. That is, the left side of the axis is minus. And the axis is zero. And the right side of the axis is plus. Right? So if you are in minus situation, then if you can be free from the minus situation, it is plus. You have 3 crore rupees in debt in the market. You are in anxiety. Oh, how can I pay that money off? So when you pay the debt, then and you become zero, you come to the situation of zero, then some relief. Okay, I don't have any more debts. I don't have any more debts. But still, it may be cessation from minus and coming to a zero, but zero is not the goal of one's existence. Does anybody... Will anybody be happy if he doesn't have any money in his pocket? Will you be happy if you don't have any money in the pocket? But not to have any money in your pocket is better than having minus debts in the market. Right? But then what happens? Then you start earning money. Now you don't have any debts. So now whatever you earn, that is plus. That is added to your bank account. Right? So material nature is like the negative side of the graph. Get out of the material nature and to become situated in the Brahman realization stage is like being in zero situation. No more debts. No minus. It's now zero. But the plus is the situation of being in the spiritual state of existence. There it is real joy. But how does one get into the plus? By renunciation, by negation, by giving up, one can come to the zero situation. But to go into the positive situation, the plus situation, one must develop his loving relationship with Krishna. So these are the three aspects: karma, jnana, and bhakti. Karma is keeping you in the negative situation. You are acting in the material platform and you are getting the reactions of your actions. So it's tying you down to the material nature. And you are going through different experiences, sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant experiences in the material nature. Then through jnana, when you realize that how miserable this material existence is, a person who is not in jnana, a person who is ajnana, who is ajnani, what does he think? What is his state of existence or the state of consciousness? What is an ajnani state of existence? I will enjoy in the material nature. That is ajnana. Material nature is a place of enjoyment. That is ajnana. But this material nature is a place of suffering. That is the first stage of knowledge, jnana. Spiritual knowledge. And when one acts with that understanding, it is a place of suffering. Does anybody want to be in a place of suffering? Nobody wants to be in a place of suffering. So when one is in a place of suffering, what does he want to do? He wants to get out of that suffering condition. If you know that if you stay in some place, somebody will come and start beating you up with a stick, what will you do? Will you stay there? Or immediately run away. Whether you have to break the window or whether you have to scale the wall, you will try to get out of that place. Similarly, when one is situated in knowledge, his condition, his consideration is to get out of this miserable condition. But getting out of the miserable condition, where does one come to? He comes to a situation of not suffering. Not minus. What is not minus? Not minus, not plus. Zero. Right? And the axis of the graph. And then, how does one go into the plus situation? What is the condition for going to the plus region of the plus, the positive side? What is the condition? How does one get into the plus situation? Yes?
We change Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Yes, what does it mean? Okay. So the, to go to the plus situation, yes, Medha? Very good. By developing the loving relationship with Krishna, one can go to the plus situation, the positive side. And chanting, you are also correct, chanting Hare Krishna is the process of developing that love. So the main consideration is how to develop love for Krishna. And when we develop our love for Krishna, the more we develop our love for Krishna, the more we go into the positive side. So that is what Prabhupada is actually pointing out in the purport. Like a jiva by his own, a jiva, when he becomes situated in the Brahman situation, he is out of the material nature and he is in his spiritual situation. Brahman means spiritual. Are you material or spiritual? We are spiritual. The body is material, but are we this body? No. What are we? The soul. And the soul is the soul material?
No.
What is the soul then?
Spiritual.
Very good. So you are?
Spiritual.
Okay. So we are spiritual. So when you become, but now, are we spiritual? If we look at ourselves, are we material or spiritual? A mosquito comes and says, oh, mosquito is biting me. Is biting who? Is the mosquito biting the soul or the body? Then why is he saying the mosquito is biting me? So who is that me? This body. Where is my consciousness? In the body. So what I am? What I am? Am I on a spiritual constitution or material constitution? Material constitution. So this material constitution means suffering condition. So to get out of this suffering condition is to become situated in a spiritual identity. So that preliminary stage of spiritual situation is Brahman realization. Now Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi means I am spiritual, I am not material. But when I become situated in my spiritual activity, then I am properly situated in my spiritual identity. If I realize that I am spiritual but I am not spiritually active, then am I really spiritual? Because a living entity has to be active. Our existence is synonymous to activities. Now the consideration is, what is the spiritual activity? What is the spiritual activity? Yes, Radharani? The spiritual activity is to serve Krishna. And what does this service to Krishna call? Devotional service. Bhakti. Clear? What are you going to do? Aspire for Brahman realization or directly become engaged in devotional service? Now that is the wonderful thing about devotional service. That even when we are in a material nature, we can become engaged in devotional service. Now, when you are engaged in devotional service, are you in a material nature or spiritual nature?
Spiritual.
Spiritual nature, because this devotional service is spiritual activity. So in this way, in spite of being in the material nature, we can become spiritually situated. That is just by directly being engaged in service to Krishna. Now let us consider Satyaki or Jujudhan. Where was Jujudhan? What was Jujudhan doing all the time? As I mentioned at the beginning of the class, what was he doing? He was driving Krishna's chariot. He was Krishna's chariot driver. He is Krishna's personal secretary, personal servant. He is Krishna's bodyguard. Bodyguard in the sense, he is going with Krishna, and if somebody tries to do something, you say, come on, let's see. You're trying to harm Krishna. And who is he? He is an expert warrior. He is trained personally by Krishna. I'm sorry, trained personally by Arjuna. He learned the art of weaponry from Arjuna. And a very dear friend of Krishna. And well-wisher, a well-wisher of the Pandavas. So we can see what is Satyaki's situation, Jujudhan. Is it situated on the spiritual platform, material platform? And that is what is meant by being situated adhokshaja situation, transcendental situation, beyond this material nature in the absolute spiritual reality. There is one incidents, let me see, from just going back to Mahabharata. You want to hear Mahabharata?
Yes.
Okay. So, the Pandavas were banished to the forest. Do you remember the Pandavas situation? Pandavas got their kingdom. Actually, it was decided, Bhishma mediated and decided that the half of the kingdom should be given to them. Prior to that, Duryodhana tried to burn them in the house of Shalak. But Pandava, with the help of Vidura, escaped. Vidura told about Duryodhana's treacherous plan. So they dug a tunnel out of the house and set the house on fire and escaped. But they were hiding. They were just traveling around as brahmanas, wandering brahmanas. And then at that time they got the news that Draupadi was going to select her husband. So they went to, and being advised by Vasudev, they went to that place, king of Drupad Panchal. And Draupadi was the most beautiful lady of that time, the most celebrated beauty of that time. And she was Jagdasini. She was not born in an ordinary way. She appeared from a sacrificial fire. From the fire she appeared. And so in that, there was a condition that one has to hit the target. A very, very difficult target to hit. The fish of an eye, making the arrow go through a moving wheel with a hole and have to hit the eye of the fish. And that also not looking up, looking down on the reflection on a pool of water, a pot of water. No one succeeded. No one could do that. Then when none of the Kshatriyas could do that, could hit the target, so Dhrishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, invited if any Brahmana would like to do that, like to try, give it a try. So at that time, Arjun, being provoked by Krishna, did that. He stood up. But all the Brahmanas thought, everyone thought that this Brahmana has become crazy. That when Kshatriyas could not hit that mark, this Brahmana, how is he going to do that? So, and they thought, they started to insult. Some started saying, they're seeing the beauty of Draupadi, this character has gone crazy. And some said, well, let him, if he wants to try, what's the harm? The Brahmanas have been invited. And after all, the Brahmanas are better than the Kshatriyas. And so finally, when Arjun hit the mark, and won Draupadi, a big fight ensued. And in that fight, they defeated Bhima, and Arjun defeated all the assembled Kshatriyas. And then Drupad sent his spies to find out who these boys were and invited them, and he recognized that these are Pandavas. So everyone was very happy that the Pandavas were still alive along with Kunti, whom they thought were dead. So then Bhishma told Dhritarashtra, call them back. Bhishma appealed to Dhritarashtra that give them their share of kingdom. You divide the kingdom into two, keep one half for your sons and give the other half. So Dhritarashtra gave the barren half of the land, the part of the land which was barren, no good. And he, for his sons, he kept Hastinapur, the capital, and the good part of the kingdom. But the Pandavas, due to their piety and due to their good nature, due to their wonderful qualities, that part which was, they established the capital in a place called Indraprastha. And that became even more prosperous than the other half. And then they organized the Rajasuya Yajna, sacrifice to establish their sovereignty over all other kings. And the consideration was that Jarasandha has already captured so many kings, and Jarasandha is extremely powerful, and Jarasandha is against the Pandavas. Jarasandha would line against the Pandavas. So in order to successfully execute the Rajasuya Yajna, they have to kill Jarasandha first. That's what Krishna's advice. So Krishna came and Krishna told that, and then Yudhishthira asked that how to kill Jarasandha. And Krishna said that we three of us will go. Arjun, Bhim and myself. And then Bhim will challenge him in a wrestling bout. And in that wrestling bout he should defeat Jarasandha. But Jarasandha also was kind of immortal. Because Jarasandha was born in a very special way. His father didn't have any son. He had two wives and he was equally disposed to these two wives. And none of them could bear him a child. So, and a sage came, found out that one sage, Chandakoshik, was in the vicinity, so he approached that very exalted saintly personality and he begged him to bless him to have a child. So Chandakoshik gave him a mango. That while he was sitting there, he was sitting under a mango tree. And when the king was talking to him, just a mango fell from the tree. And he gave the mango to the king and said that you will have a child. So, since the king was equally disposed to both his wives, he gave that one half of the mango to one wife and the other half to the other wife. And they both of them became pregnant. And in due course, they gave birth to half of a child, dead half. So, what is the use of this half? Of a, one half of came out from one womb, the other half came from another womb. So, they threw away the child, the dead, dead. And that at night, there was a witch, a demoness called Jara. She came across this babe, flesh of the baby. So she her business was to eat baby's blood and flesh. So she was very happy to see this dead baby, dead bodies lying. So she picked them up, picked those two pieces, and while she was carrying, she placed it together. And the child became alive and started to cry. And it happened near the king's palace, so hearing the child's cry, everybody came out of the house. And then Jara realized that this is actually the king's child. So she felt that after all, I live in the king's kingdom, so I should do him some favor. So she assumed the form of a beautiful woman and offered the child to the king. And she told what actually happened. And king was very happy. And because it was Sandha joined by Jara, therefore the king named the baby after her, after that witch, after the demoness, Rakshashi, Jara. And named him as Jarasandha. So Krishna told that the Jarasandha, the only way Jarasandha can die if his body is split into two. So it was, so Bhima went and fought, challenged him in a wrestling match. Jarasandha asked him, they appeared there as brahmanas, and Jarasandha could recognize him. He said that, I can see that you are not brahmanas. Why did you come like this, hiding your identity? And why did you also come from the back door? So, that Krishna said that, that since Kshatriyas, since they are also, anyway, he said Krishna actually gave some reasons that this was justified, and he pointed out that about coming from the back door, he said when you go to your friend's house, you go through the front door, and when you go to an enemy's house, you go through the back door. Then Jarasandha asked, why are you considering me to be enemy? I didn't do any harm to you. Then Krishna said that you have arrested all these kings, and that's why we consider you to be the enemy. This is an inappropriate act to the human society. And you have captivated them and you want to slaughter them in your sacrifice. So that's why we are challenging you to a fight. So, and it was decided that Jarasandha would pick one of them. And Jarasandha selected Bhima. And they fought for about 18 days non-stop. For 18 days they were wrestling, and both were extremely powerful. But eventually Jarasandha started to losing his strength. So then Bhim picked him up and started to roll him over his head. And he rolled him so many times he became unconscious. Then Bhima put him on the ground. With his feet, he held on to one leg, and with the hands, he just tore off the other half of the body. And that's how Jarasandha was killed. So after killing Jarasandha, they released all the 86 kings. And those kings became very submissive to them. And after that, Yaga was performed. And after successful completion of Rajasuya, in that Rajasuya Yoga, probably you remember, Shishupal started to insult Krishna. And at that time Krishna severed his head. Then they were considering that such an act was performed in a sacrifice, this whether it marks any inauspiciousness. And Vasudev pointed out that yes, the result of this act will fructify after 13 years. And during this Rajasuya Yajna, when Duryodhan came and saw this palace of the Pandavas and the opulence of the Pandavas, he became very envious. So his uncle Shakuni advised him to invite Yudhishthir Maharaj in a game of dice and defeat him and take everything away from him. And as a result of that, they lost everything and had to go to the forest for 12 years. And the condition was that the 13th year they will stay incognito. And if anybody recognizes them, any one of them, then this condition will repeat. Another 12 years of forest exile in the forest. So anyway, this is how Pandavas were sent to the forest and their kingdom was taken away. Although they became the key ruler of the earth planet, after performing Rajasuya Yajna, they left everything. They lost everything. So that's what I was saying. At that time, Satyaki actually was planning to wage a war against Duryodhana. And anyway, so anyway, maybe I can read next time, because okay. Krishna went to the Kammaka forest to see the Pandavas. With him went Drishtadumna, Drishtaketu, the king of the Chedis, and Kekaya brothers, famed the world over for their bravery. With Krishna went all the heroes of the Vrishni house. They were shocked to see the condition of the Pandavas and their queen. They sat round Yudhishthir. Krishna said, "The earth has become thirsty for blood. She will drink the blood of the sinners, Duryodhan, Radheya, Shakuni, and Dushasan. We are all here. All the kings of the world are shocked at what has happened. Yudhishthir, why should you live in the forest? Because they ask you to. It was not a fair game, nor was it right on their part to impose this condition on you. Let us, all of us, march against the city of Hastinapur. I have brought my army with me. So have these heroes. The entire Bharatvarsha is on your side. We can vanquish the Kaurava easily." Yudhishthir said, "No, Krishna, I have done a wrong thing, and this exile is the expiation for it. I have to go through it, and with me, my brothers and my beloved queen. They have to suffer for what I did. I would give anything to recall the past, but I cannot. Fate is inexorable. I have to suffer. The great Vyasa foretold me about this spell of bad luck. When I was in Indraprastha, I have to refuse your offer, Krishna. Please forgive me." Yudhishthir sat silent. So now here is the difference between Yudhishthir and Arjun. Why Arjun is considered to be a greater devotee? Because Arjun just did whatever Krishna told him. Whereas Yudhishthir was not listening to Krishna. Yudhishthir was not fully surrendered to Krishna. He was considering the moral consideration, the ethical consideration. What is right, what is wrong? What is dharma? What is the codes according to dharma? But that's why we find in Bhagavad Gita the instruction sarva dharman paditta. Yudhishthir could not give up sarva, take that condition, sarva dharman parittaja. He had the consideration of relative dharma. But what is the ultimate dharma? To surrender unto Krishna and follow his instruction is the ultimate task. So here Krishna is telling that I have come with my army and all these kings have come, so let's attack the Kauravas and defeat them and reinstate you in your kingdom. But Yudhishthira is saying no. So that is, he is not completely surrendered to Krishna. So what do you learn from that? Should he follow Yudhishthira Maharaj or Arjuna? Our choice is clear. But at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj had another consideration. Because Krishna did not speak Bhagavad Gita as yet. And also another thing is, Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj did not hear that instruction at that time. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braj. Krishna was terribly angry with the Kauravas. The anger of Krishna was as terrible as that of Rudra at the time of destruction of the Asuras. Arjuna tried to pacify his dearest friend. Arjuna tried to remove the angry frown from the charming face of Krishna. Krishna said, Yudhishthir, your life and mine are bound up in each other. You are mine and I am yours. We belong to each other. No one can separate you from me. Those who love you are those who love me. Your enemies are my enemies. I will not rest until I destroy my enemies. They will perish. If not now, later. Since you are bent on following the conditions of the conditions to the letter, but it is all a question of time. I'll make this earth wet with the blood of these lusty Kshatriyas. I will then perform the coronation of the best of men. This I swear I will do. Yes, I swear I will do. When she saw her dear Krishna and her beloved brother Drishtadyumna, the grief of Draupadi became intense. All the sorrow she had suffered on that memorable day, all the insults which had been hurled at her by Radheya, Duryodhan and Dushasan became fresh again. She sobbed as though her heart would break. The anger of Krishna against the Kauravas was such a contrast to the patience of Yudhishthir that it gave her immense comfort. She looked at Krishna, her eyes full of glistening tears. She said, Krishna, look at me. I am the favored queen of the five great Pandavas, reputed to be the greatest heroes in the world. I am the sister of Drishtadyumna, the fireborn. I am the dear friend of Krishna, and yet this has happened to me. They insulted me, Krishna. They dragged me to the court. And Krishna, they said, I was the slave of those beasts. Krishna, they said such awful things. The old dotard Bhishma and Dhritarashtra were there, but they did nothing to prevent this outrage. They did nothing, and they said nothing. I will tell you about this husband of mine. What is the use of Bhima killing 100 Rakshasas? What if Arjuna fought with the great Indra himself? What is the use of the conquest of Nakula and Sahadev? What do I care if Yudhishthira is called the sole monarch of this earth since he has performed the Rajasuya? When my hair purified by the sacred waters during the Rajasuya, when my hair was touched by that Dushasan, how could they have stood calm? Dushasan tried to disrobe me. These men were silent. Can anything be more horrible than that? If it had been for your infinite kindness, I would have been disrobed completely, and still these husbands of mine would have been silent. Yudhishthira stalks glibly about dharma. But is it not the highest dharma of a husband to protect his wife when she is being insulted? Should they not rescue the wife from a strong man who is getting ready to harass her as no other woman has been harassed before? Even if it had been just any woman, they should have leaped to her rescue, as it is written down in the book of rules. They call themselves Kshatriyas and they do not know the meaning of the word. But chivalry is dead in the hearts of men. They are not men. Draupadi's tears flowed without restraint. She could not speak no more. Krishna took her face in his hands. With his fingers, he tenderly wiped away her tears, nor were his own eyes dry. He tried to comfort her. He said, "Wait a little longer, Draupadi. Your tears will not be in vain. The women of the Kuru house will weep, even as you are weeping now. When Arjuna's arrows quench their thirst in the blood of Radheya, they will weep. When Bhima's hands are red with the blood of Dushasan, they will weep. When that sinful Duryodhan lies on the battlefield with his thigh broken by Bhima, they will weep. I promise to you most solemnly that all these things will happen. Nothing can stop me. Nothing. Listen to my oath. The heavens may fall from their height. The snowy peaks of Himalaya, Himavan may slip and fall. The seas may dry up. The earth may shiver into millions of flinders. But the words of Krishna will never be vain, empty words. You will see all the Kauravas dead. Do not cry, my dear sister. Do not cry." Draupadi's frenzied sobbing abated slowly after hearing the words of Krishna. He said, "Yudhishthir, if I had been at Dwarka at the time of the tragedy, I would have heard about it and I would have hurried to Hastinapur uninvited. I would have stopped this game of dice. I would have made Bhishma and Dhritarashtra take steps to avert this crime. But I had gone away to Shalva. I had to fight with Shalva and Sobha. Sobha was a friend of Shishupal. To avenge the death of his friend, he harassed the people of Dwarka when I was away in Indraprastha. I went to fight with them. After killing them, I hurried back to Dwarka. The omens were all pointed to some calamity. There in Dwarka, I heard about the injustice done to you. I came here to see you and talk to you about it. I thought that I would coax you to fight for your kingdom. You have now spent 13 days in the forest. According to some rule, a day means a year. So Yudhishthir, you will not be breaking your promise. If you fight now, what do you say? You will not break your promise if you fight now. What do you say?" Yudhishthir smiled at Krishna and said nothing. Krishna smiled too and said, "It will be as you wish. But their end is near. We will see you, king, very soon. I'll place the crown on your head with these hands of mine. You can be sure of that." Krishna took leave of all of them one by one. Drishtadyumna bade farewell to his sister and his brothers-in-law. He embraced his dear friend Bhima. The Kekaya brothers with Drishtaketu took leave of the Pandavas. They all went away, leaving the Pandavas to ponder on their encouraging words and the solemn oath of Krishna. In one hand, we can see that if Yudhishthir Maharaj listened to Krishna's words, then Mahabharata would have happened. The history would have been something else. But anyway, this is also, we have to understand that this is Krishna's plan. This is Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's divine arrangement. So, anyway, we are happy that we have Mahabharata. Isn't it exciting? So much. Like every page of Mahabharata actually churns the emotions of the heart. There'll never be a literature like this in this world. And it's not a fiction, it's factual. And facts are stranger than fictions. Mahabharata is the proof. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Wow, so many questions. Yeah.
I have two questions. The first thing is, how devotees, although they know that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, they feel concerned. They feel concerned for Krishna. So, similarly, when we execute devotional service, we may feel, in spite of the rules and regulations, we still might feel concerned about devotees. Like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, for example, wanted to go for Govardhan Parikram towards the end of his Leela. But although that was his instruction, devotees felt concerned and they had to find a way how to avoid that situation. So, how to find the balance between the concern and surrender to the following the instructions?
You see, that concern is an expression of love. It cannot be avoided. It's inevitable. Like, for example, say, you are with your friend, and your friend is very strong and powerful, right? And somebody comes to attack your friend. Then do you just leave your friend there and say, okay, protect yourself? Or you just roll up your sleeves and face those people? Although your friend is much stronger. Why do you do that?
Love.
Because of love. Because of your love, you feel like protecting that person, although he may be much stronger than you. So that is the feeling of a devotee. Although they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he thinks that with my might, I'll defend Krishna. I'll serve Krishna. I'll do. Right? So that's the difference between love and knowledge. Those who are in knowledge, they will say, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me just sit down. He'll take care of himself. That's the difference between the yogis and devotees. Yogis are meditating, thinking, well, Krishna can take care of himself. Even when the demons come, they're sitting there. But the devotees, either they stand up against the demon or they become afraid of the demon and run to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, do something about it. Right? So the concern here for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an expression of love. Although they know He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So sometimes when like in a situation where we might have to, you know, I give the example of Srila Prabhupada. We wanted to go for Govardhan Parikram. So the instructions are still to be followed. We cannot disobey the instructions. But then we have concerns. How do we?
Well, since you brought up that Govardhan Parikram and Prabhupada's desire, and you know, like some of us did not succumb to that instruction of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada finally accepted that because he saw that it was love and love prevailed. Okay.
You said how we have to develop our love for Krishna. So is it that love for Krishna will develop only when one reaches a Raghavanula platform, or even in the Vaidhi stage we do have a sense of love for Krishna?
See, the love also has, you know, different stages. Interrupted love and uninterrupted love. So when other considerations are there, then the love is interrupted. So in Vaidhi platform, or imperfect until one achieves the perfection, the love is interrupted. But in the perfected platform, it is uninterrupted and unconditional. Ahaituki apatiyata.
Even in Vaidhi platform, there is love.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when the devotees are dressing the Lord, what don't they feel that? When they're cooking for the Lord, like, gradually it'll develop as they keep on practicing devotional service, Vaidhi Bhakti. It'll increase. Initially, there may not be anything, any feeling. Oh, the temple president or head pujari told me to cook, so therefore I'm cooking. Right? But then as it continues, as it develops, as it makes advancement, the love will develop. Then he'll feel that, well, I'm actually... Then the condition consideration won't be, because I've been told to cook, that's why I'm cooking. But because I love Krishna, that's why I'm cooking.
Guru Maharaj, what is the speciality of that dice that if Shakuri spoke that the 6 has come, then definitely 6 will come?
Huh? What's that?
What is the speciality of that dice that he, on the basis of that dice, he invited...
Shakuni was a wizard. Like, he was... In a game of dice, he had this expertise. So, like, that was his... How did he get that expertise? I don't know. Yes, Radha.
You mentioned that Vyasini is there because Shishupal's head was decapitated in the Rajasini sacrifice. It was a sign of inauspiciousness and therefore they had to...
They were considering, because at that time, like inauspicious signs started to show up. So, but Vasudev said that the result will come after 13 years. Well, the thing is, you see, he acts in a certain way, and you know, there's a material reactions also that falls in a line with that. Like, you know, this is another thing, like when the Supreme Personality of Godhead performs his pastimes on this planet, he doesn't always act as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also follows the rules of this material nature. Like when he appears, auspicious signs appear. Like when Krishna appeared, all the stars and planets, you know, came into the most perfect conjunction. So in this way, there are inauspicious signs also displayed to indicate, you know, certain inauspicious reaction. Like that. Yeah, so that's why it has been time and time again pointed out that the course of dharma is very intricate. It's very difficult to figure out what is... That's what Bhishma was actually confused about. Like he couldn't figure out, although he was a very just and noble man, but he didn't know what was right, and at that time he couldn't figure out what should be done. Like in one hand there is a game of dice, you know, there was a consideration of their, you know, conditions, that was late during the game, and they lost, and you know, all that. And it's true, like Draupadi, that's why Draupadi, you know, like she harbored some very strong feelings against Bhishma. That here is a noble man, so virtuous, so righteous, but where was his nobility? When I was being insulted, he was just sitting like an idiot in the middle of the assembly.
I really appreciate your analogy of the graph. It's really beautiful. Kind of thing. So
yes. So yes, Sunita.
Bhishma's non-action at the time Draupadi was being disrobed. Can it be said that, you know, because he was, his allegiance to the kingdom or to Dhritarashtra came in the way, and that is why he did not act. So in a way it was his selfishness which stopped him from doing that. Can we say that? In a way,
well, there is another, yeah, well, there is another way of looking at it. When Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, then Pandavas came and along with Krishna, just before he was about to leave, and Bhishma started to instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj on the principles of dharma, varnashram dharma. And at that time, Bhishma noticed there was a smile in Draupadi's face, kind of a smile of resentment. So he asked Draupadi why she was smiling in that way. Then Draupadi said, where was your wisdom when I was being disrobed in front of you in that public, in that assembly? Then Bhishma said, you see, at that time, because I was eating the food of the Kauravas, my consciousness became affected because I was eating their food. But today that blood has been drained out of my body. So now my consciousness has become purified. So this also shows how one's consciousness becomes affected in such a subtle way as through food. And that's why we have to be very careful, who cooks, what kind of food we are eating, because it does affect our consciousness.
Yeah,
Kalki avatar will come at the end of the Kali Yuga. So duration of Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. Out of that, only 5,000 years have gone by. So there's still 427,000 years left. Right? And at that time, say 427,000 years from now, Krishna will appear as Kalki avatar. He will appear as the son of a Brahmana called Vishnu Yasha in a place called Sambhal. And at that time, the whole world will become completely filled with demoniac people. The condition of the world will become so terrible that we can't even imagine. Like, you can say that there won't be any food to eat, there won't be any water to drink. People will become practically cannibals. And the rulers, the bandits will become the rulers. And the situation will become so difficult because of these bandits exploiting people as the rulers. They will be ruling the government. And we can see what's happening now also. They're just, every year more and more taxes are being imposed. And who has to pay the tax? The common people. But at least, now they can bear it, because the tax they are being imposed on is less than their income. But what if their income is less than the tax that is that they have to pay. And you can see how one becomes submissive to that system. Like, although you may not like it, but you have to pay the tax. You have to pay the tax. You can't avoid it. Right? No matter how unjust and unfair this taxing system may be. So at that time, it will become so bad that people will run away from the cities and villages and towns. They'll run into the forest just to be away from these demoniac rulers. There won't be any law and order at that time. So at that time, Kalki will appear and he'll start to slaughter all these demons. And he will wipe out all the demons. And since most of the people will become demoniac, Kalki will actually destroy practically everybody. And only a handful of devotees will be spared. And with them, the Satya Yuga will begin. Satya Yuga will start. Yes?
What is the difference between abhakta and agyata?
What's the difference between abhakta and agyan? Tumhi bata? Tumhi bata? ये तो हिंदी में ही तुम बोला है अभक्त मतलब जो भक्त नहीं है हाँ और अज्ञान मतलब जिसका ज्ञान नहीं है हाँ तो मतलब क्या है शब्द का तो अर्थ मिल गया है तो तुम्हारा प्रश्न क्या है
प्रश्न यही है कि अभक्त और अज्ञानी में क्या अंतर
अभक्त और अज्ञानी में अंतर क्या है अगर अज्ञान हाँ चला जाता है तो ज्ञान आता है वो अज्ञान चला गया ज्ञानी ज्ञान आया ज्ञान बना ज्ञानी बना बल्कि उसका मतलब नहीं है कि वो भक्त बना है
दोनों
अलग चीज है जो ज्ञान का प्राप्ति होता है जो सही ज्ञान जब मिलता है तो सही ज्ञान जब मिलता है तब सही ज्ञान क्या है सही ज्ञान है कि भगवान को शरण लेना ही जीवन का अंतिम उद्देश्य है और जब वो ये काम करते हैं तब वो भक्त बन जाता है ठीक है मतलब अज्ञान दूर होने से ज्ञानी बन सकता है बल्कि वही चरम लक्ष्य नहीं है ज्ञान प्राप्त होने के बाद जब भगवान का सेवा शुरू होता है भक्ति शुरू होता है तभी जीवन का अंतिम उद्देश्य सफल जैसा और विचार ऐसे भी हो सकता है अज्ञान से ज्ञान अज्ञान ज्ञानी बन सकता है अभक्त भी ज्ञान अज्ञान जब ज्ञान प्राप्त होता है वो ज्ञानी बनता है जो अभक्त है वो ज्ञानी हो सकता है वो अज्ञान में नहीं रह सकता है वो ज्ञानी हो सकता है बल्कि वो अभक्त है
भक्त का सम नहीं करना चाहिए बार बार बोला
हाँ
तो फिर अभक्त ज्ञानी कैसे बन सकता
है अभक्त ज्ञानी कैसे बन सकता है हाँ जैसे बहुत बड़े पंडित हैं जैसे बहुत बड़े पंडित हो सकता है अगर वो अभक्त है तो क्या करोगे उसके संग करोगे हाँ उसको संग करने से क्या होगा फायदा होगा कुछ
अभक्त हाँ
इसलिए अभक्त को संग नहीं करना अज्ञानी का संग कर सकते हो बल्कि अभक्त का संग कभी नहीं करना अभक्त का मतलब जो भगवान के विद्वेषी है जो भगवान से द्वेष करते हैं उसको संग करने से भगवान के विद्वेषी बनने का संभावना रहता है हरे कृष्ण ओके थैंक यू वेरी मच ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद